Welcome to our deep dive, everyone. Ready for a journey through time? We're going to explore how humans have been visually communicating for millennia.
Oh, yeah. We're talking way back to the very first cave painting.
And tracing the evolution of graphic design all the way to the printing press. It's amazing to think about how graphic design shapes the way we see and understand the world.
It's true. So many people just think about logos and posters.
Right.
But it's so much more than that. It's
yeah.
really fascinating how graphic design has played a crucial role in human civilization.
I love how you put that.
You know how we share knowledge,
yeah.
build culture,
right.
and even establish economies?
I like that. It really highlights the impact of graphic design. So where do we even begin?
Well, tens of thousands of years ago,
okay.
long before Photoshop or even paper existed,
wow.
with the earliest forms of visual expression, cave paintings.
Okay.
Can you imagine standing in the Lascaux Caves in France,
yeah.
surrounded by these incredibly detailed paintings of animals,
wow.
created around 38,000 years ago?
It must have been an incredible sight to see. I wonder if they're just like simple drawings or did they use any advanced techniques?
Well, they were surprisingly sophisticated for their time. They used natural pigments,
okay.
like ochre and charcoal,
uh-huh.
and even created hand stencils by blowing pigments around their hands.
Oh, cool.
It's like a prehistoric version of airbrushing.
Wow. I love that. What's interesting is that hand stencils are still used by street artists today.
Yeah.
Like, it's a technique that's transcended time.
Definitely.
Do you have a modern example of an artist who uses this ancient technique?
Absolutely. Think of Banksy.
Oh, yeah.
The world-famous street artist. He uses stencils to create powerful images,
uh-huh.
often provocative images,
yeah.
which echoes the techniques used by those early cave painters.
Yeah. It's so cool.
It really shows how some principles of graphic design just transcend time.
It's mind-boggling to think about that connection. How something created tens of thousands of years ago can still resonate with us today. Okay, so we've seen cave paintings, but what came after that?
Fast forward a few thousand years to the Neolithic period,
yeah.
and we find ourselves in the Sahara Desert,
ooh.
Surrounded by awe-inspiring rock engravings of Kassili and Ajur in Algeria.
Huh.
These engravings cover an area over 150,000 square kilometers.
Wow, that's huge.
It's like a prehistoric city carved into the rock face.
Wow, that is absolutely massive. What kinds of things do they carve?
They depict scenes from daily life,
okay.
rituals, and animals. It gives us a glimpse into their culture and
yeah.
their beliefs. What's striking is the level of detail and the artistry.
Oh, wow.
In these engravings, they use geometric patterns and figurative motifs that still inspire contemporary artists.
Oh, wow. Are there any modern artists that draw inspiration from these Neolithic engravings?
Absolutely. One that comes to mind is El Anatsu,
okay.
a Ghanaian sculptor who uses recycled materials.
Okay.
Bottle caps and wire mesh.
Wow.
To create large-scale installations that evoke the textures and patterns of ancient rock engravings.
It's amazing to think how these prehistoric artists influenced art today. For our listener, would there be any way to experience these rock engravings without, like, traveling all the way to Algeria?
There are a few ways to experience this art virtually. Many museums,
okay.
like the Louvre in Paris,
oh, cool.
have online exhibitions that showcase Neolithic art
oh.
and its influence on modern art.
I love that. That's really neat. Okay, so we've explored cave paintings and rock engravings, which are both super old.
Yeah.
What would you say was the next big step?
The next pivotal moment was development of writing.
Oh, yeah.
This marked a huge shift in human history and for graphic design. Visual communication wasn't just about expressing ideas, but also about transmitting knowledge.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. The invention of writing must have revolutionized the way people communicated and shared information. Where did this incredible innovation first emerge?
Around 3300 BCE, the Sumerians
mm-hmm.
in Mesopotamia
yeah.
developed a writing system using pictograms on clay tablets.
Oh, wow. So they would literally etch these symbols into clay.
Yeah, and they were used to record everything. From agricultural records, trade transactions,
uh-huh.
to legal documents like the Code of Hammurabi.
The Code of Hammurabi. I remember learning about that in school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So these clay tablets held some pretty important stuff.
One clay tablet could hold up to 1,500 cuneiform characters.
Wow.
Can you imagine that?
That's mind-boggling. It must have been a really tedious process to create those clay tablets.
Oh, yeah.
Did they eventually find a better writing material?
Yes.
Okay.
Around 3000 BCE,
uh-huh.
the Egyptians introduced papyrus.
Oh, papyrus.
A much lighter and more portable material than clay tablets.
That makes sense.
This let them create longer and more complex texts.
Okay.
Like religious scriptures, stories,
yeah.
and medical treatises.
So cool. And I've heard papyrus was so valuable it was sometimes used as currency.
You're absolutely right. Imagine a world where your writing material also holds monetary value.
That's wild.
But that says a lot about how graphic design shaped early economic systems.
It really does. It highlights how important information itself was.
Yeah.
And it makes you wonder what kind of information was valuable enough to be traded using papyrus. So from the earlier forms of communication that were more image-based, did the Egyptians develop a writing system that used letters like we do today?
Well, the Egyptian writing system was advanced.
Okay.
But it was the Phoenicians around 1050 BCE
okay.
who created a simple phonetic alphabet
with
just 22 letters.
Wow. That's so interesting.
This is a game changer.
Yeah.
It made writing so much easier to learn, and it really enabled communication to spread across vast distances.
That means the Phoenician alphabet is like the ancestor of the Latin and Arabic alphabet.
It is.
That's amazing. Talk about a lasting legacy.
I know, right?
Did this new alphabet have any impact on how writing looked?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
This shift to a simplified alphabet had a huge effect on visual communication. The Phoenician script, with its clean lines and geometric forms, influenced a bunch of other writing systems, including the Greek and Roman alphabets.
Oh, wow.
It paved the way for more legible and standardized typography, which would become increasingly important as writing became more widespread.
It's incredible how a simple change, like a new alphabet, could affect graphic design and communication.
Yeah.
So how did we move from writing on papyrus to the printed page?
Well, that's where our journey gets even more exciting.
Oh.
But first, we need to take a detour to Asia.
Asia.
Where some really groundbreaking printing techniques were developed long before they appeared in Europe.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. I can't wait to hear about these early printing innovations.
Get ready for woodblock printing.
Okay.
And the invention of movable type innovations that would lay the foundation for a communication revolution.
Okay. I am definitely hooked. I can't wait to dive into the next chapter of this graphic design adventure. We'll be right back with more on the history of graphic design. Welcome back to our deep dive into graphic design history. Before the break, we were about to explore early printing innovations in Asia. I'm really curious to learn how they paved the way for the printing revolution we know today.
Yeah, this part of the story is really fascinating.
Okay.
Because it challenges the common narrative that printing came from Europe.
Yeah, I'm excited to have my Eurocentric view of printing completely shattered. So tell me, what were some of these early Chinese printing techniques?
Well, let's start with woodblock printing, which emerged in China around 200 CE.
Okay.
This technique involved carving pages onto wooden blocks, inking them, and then pressing them onto paper. It was labor-intensive.
Yeah, that's...
But it allowed for the creation of multiple copies of texts and images.
So this was the first step towards mass production of printed material.
Exactly.
That's incredible.
It made knowledge more accessible.
That makes sense. So what kind of impact did this new technology have on the spread of information?
Well, think about the Diamond Sutra.
Okay.
The world's earliest complete printed book.
Oh, wow.
It was created in China in 868 CE using woodblock printing.
Wow, okay.
They produced over 7,000 copies.
That's incredible. That's like the ancient Chinese version of a bestseller.
Oh, it's...
I also remember reading about movable type being invented in China.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us a bit about that innovation?
Absolutely. In 1040 CE, a man named Bi Sheng developed movable type using porcelain characters.
Oh, hell, porcelain.
Instead of carving entire pages onto woodblock, he created individual characters that could be rearranged and reused to print different pages.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, it was a brilliant idea.
Yeah.
But the complexity of the Chinese language,
with
its thousands of characters, made it tough to implement on a large scale.
It's so fascinating how an innovation can be affected by the language it's trying to reproduce.
I know.
So it seems like graphic design isn't just about technical skill, but also about understanding language and culture.
Absolutely.
That's really interesting. So movable type wasn't widely adopted in China at that time.
No, not really.
But
it took nearly 400 years for movable type to reach its full potential when Johannes Gutenberg, a German inventor, adapted it using metal type in the 15th century.
Okay.
Gutenberg's printing press, combined with his use of metal type, revolutionized printing,
yeah,
and allowed for the mass production of books in Europe.
It's amazing how these innovations built upon each other across different cultures and time periods. So we've seen how printing technology developed in Asia. What was happening in Europe during this time?
Well, while Asia was pioneering early printing techniques,
okay,
Europe was having its own unique developments in graphic design during the Middle Ages.
Oh, wow. The Middle Ages.
A lot of people think of the Middle Ages as a dark age.
Yeah.
But it was a time of incredible artistic innovation.
Okay.
Especially with illuminated manuscripts.
Oh, yes. Illuminated manuscripts. Those beautifully handwritten and decorated books. I remember seeing some in museums. They're truly stunning. Can you tell us a little more about them?
Yeah, so they were more than just books.
Okay.
They were sacred objects,
yeah,
often adorned with calligraphy,
mm,
illustrations,
yeah,
even gold leaf and precious gems.
Wow, that's incredible.
Creating just one manuscript could take years.
Wow, years!
It involved skilled scribes and artisans working together.
That's insane.
Yeah.
What were some of the most common themes or subjects in these manuscripts?
A lot of them were religious texts.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like Bibles and prayer books.
Yeah.
But they also included things like historical chronicles,
okay,
scientific treatises,
wow,
and even literature.
It sounds like these illuminated manuscripts played a really important role in preserving and transmitting knowledge during the Middle Ages.
They did.
But I imagine something this elaborate and beautiful was probably only accessible to a select few, right?
Yeah, you're right. They were incredibly valuable, mm-hmm, and mainly commissioned by wealthy patrons, like the clergy and the nobility.
Okay.
A bishop might even mortgage his land just to purchase one.
Wow. That's a pretty penny.
It definitely limited their accessibility, but they still play a huge role in shaping the visual culture at the time.
It's so interesting to think about how the limited availability of these manuscripts compared to the mass-produced books of later centuries would have impacted the spread of knowledge and ideas.
Yeah, it's a really good point.
Yeah.
It shows how graphic design,
yeah,
and the technology used to produce it,
yeah,
have always been connected with power dynamics and access to information.
That is so true.
Yeah.
So we know illuminated manuscripts were mainly for the elite.
Yeah.
But was there any other form of printing in Europe before Gutenberg came along?
Well, woodblock printing hadn't reached the same level as in Asia,
okay,
but it was still used to create simple images,
okay,
and short texts,
okay,
usually for religious purposes.
Got it.
They also used woodcuts to create playing cards.
Playing cards. Now, that's a fun application of printing.
I know.
What were those early European playing cards like?
Well, imagine playing cards so valuable. They were sometimes used as currency.
What? No way.
Yes. Yeah.
So, we've got these manuscripts for the elite,
uh-huh,
and simpler woodcuts creating things like playing cards.
Right.
And religious imagery for everyone else.
Mm.
It sounds like graphic design was already being used for different audiences and purposes even before the printing press.
Yeah, you're hitting on a key theme here. Graphic design has always been about more than just aesthetics.
Yeah.
It's about solving problems in communication,
okay,
meeting specific needs,
uh-huh,
and responding to cultural shifts and new technologies.
Yeah, that's a really interesting perspective. It makes graphic design seem much more relevant to our lives.
Yeah.
But let's talk about the printing press.
Okay.
This is where things really changed, right?
Oh, yeah. This is where our journey takes a dramatic turn. It's true that Gutenberg's printing press revolutionized the world. But we should remember, he didn't invent printing from scratch.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He built upon centuries of innovation,
yes,
particularly those techniques from Asia,
uh-huh,
to create a truly transformative technology.
So what made Gutenberg's press so special?
Well, his genius was his combination of movable type,
okay,
which was made from metal,
uh-huh,
and a mechanical press,
okay,
that allowed for the efficient reproduction of text.
Got it.
This meant they could produce books way faster,
wow,
and in larger quantities than ever before.
Wow, okay.
His most famous achievement is the Gutenberg Bible.
Yeah, the Gutenberg Bible.
Printed in 1454.
An iconic symbol of the printing revolution.
It really is.
How many did he print?
Over 300 copies.
Wow.
Which was huge at the time.
Yeah, because remember, books were being copied by hand before this.
Exactly.
That's crazy.
This invention made books more affordable.
Okay.
More accessible.
Uh-huh.
Which led to a huge increase in literacy.
Wow.
And the rapid spread of knowledge across Europe.
It's fascinating how a technological innovation could impact society and culture so much.
It really is.
Was it just the availability of books that changed things? Or did Gutenberg's press impact graphic design, too?
It had a huge impact on graphic design.
Okay.
Because all of a sudden, consistency and standardization became super important.
Yeah.
With movable type, each letter had to be uniform in size and shape.
Uh-huh.
This led to the development of standardized fonts and typefaces.
Oh, okay.
And page layouts became more structured,
okay,
paving the way for modern typographic principles that we still use.
Wow, so the printing press not only democratized knowledge,
right,
it also helped shape the visual language of printed materials.
It did.
And that influence continues to this day. But our deep dive doesn't end with Gutenberg.
It doesn't.
What happened next?
That's where our journey gets even more exciting. From Art Nouveau to the Bauhaus movement,
okay,
graphic design continued to respond to cultural shifts and new technologies, creating a rich visual tapestry.
I'm really excited to explore those artistic movements. But we're out of time for this segment. Join us for the final part of our deep dive as we explore the rise of modern graphic design, from the Industrial Revolution to the digital age. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into graphic design history. It's been quite a journey from cave paintings to the printing press.
It really has.
You've seen how graphic design is connected with communication and technology.
Yeah.
And now we get to enter the modern era.
I know. This is where it gets really interesting.
So excited.
The relationship between graphic design, communication, and technology becomes so dynamic.
I can't wait to learn about it.
Yeah.
So what were some of the biggest turning points in modern graphic design?
Well, the Industrial Revolution in the late 18th and 19th centuries was huge for graphic design.
Okay.
New technologies, mass production, and consumer culture created a demand for new and innovative ways to communicate and advertise.
It sounds like the Industrial Revolution really paved the way for the modern graphic design industry.
It did.
Were there any specific inventions that had a big impact?
Lithography.
Lithography.
Invented in 1796 by Alois Senefelder.
Okay.
It allowed for high-quality images and text to be reproduced on all kinds of surfaces.
So this was a step up from woodblock printing.
It was.
How did lithography change how graphic design looked?
It allowed for a lot more detail.
Okay.
More intricate designs and illustrations.
Okay.
It led to those colorful posters and advertisements in the 19th century.
Oh, yeah. Like those vintage posters advertising everything from the circus to department stores.
Exactly.
I can totally picture those.
It seems like graphic design was really becoming a part of everyday life.
Definitely. And we can't forget about the arts and crafts movement.
Oh, yeah, the arts and crafts movement.
Which emerged in the late 19th century. It's known for its beautiful, handcrafted objects.
Yeah.
But did it also influence graphic design?
Oh, for sure.
Okay.
The arts and crafts movement was a reaction against mass production.
That makes sense.
So they advocated for things like craftsmanship, natural materials, and simple functional designs.
I see.
And this really had a big impact on graphic design,
okay,
leading to a renewed focus on typography, hand-drawn illustrations, and a move away from that overly ornate Victorian style.
So things were becoming more modern.
They were.
Did any new design styles emerge from this?
Well, this is where we see Art Nouveau start to flourish.
Ooh.
In the late 19th and early 20th centuries,
okay,
Art Nouveau was inspired by nature.
Okay.
The flowing lines, organic shapes,
yeah,
and those intricate floral motifs.
It's
like those posters by Alphonse Mucha.
Oh, yeah.
With those graceful women and flowing hair.
I love those.
Yeah. They're great.
So Art Nouveau was mostly graphic design.
Well, it was actually a total design movement.
Oh, wow.
It touched everything.
Like what?
Architecture, furniture, fashion, even jewelry.
It's wild how one movement could be so widespread. The 20th century was a period of a lot of change.
Uh-huh.
So how did graphic design respond to those shifts?
Well, the early 20th century saw all those avant-garde movements.
Okay.
Cubism, Futurism, Dadaism.
Yeah.
They all challenged traditional ideas about art.
Yeah.
And these movements had a huge impact on graphic design.
Okay.
Leading to bold geometric shapes and abstract patterns.
So graphic design was becoming more experimental.
It was. It was a time to break away from the past,
mm-hmm,
and embrace new visual languages.
That sounds exciting.
And all that experimentation led to Art Deco and Bauhaus.
Oh, yeah. Two of the most iconic design styles of the 20th century.
I know, right?
Art Deco with its geometric patterns.
Yes.
And luxurious aesthetic.
And Bauhaus with its focus on function and that minimalist design.
They're both so different.
They are.
but their influence can still be seen today.
For sure.
Can you tell us a bit more about these two styles?
Well, Art Deco emerged in the 1920s and 30s.
Okay.
And it was all about modernity, glamour, and technological advancement.
I see.
It used bold colors, geometric shapes, and stylized motifs inspired by ancient Egypt and industrial design.
Like those Art Deco skyscrapers.
Exactly.
They're so cool.
It was a style that celebrated progress.
It really was. What about Bauhaus?
Bauhaus was founded in Germany in 1919.
Okay.
And it was actually a design school.
Oh, wow.
It revolutionized the way people thought about design.
Well,
their big thing was form follows function.
I've heard of that.
So they focused on simplicity, clarity, and functionality over just looking pretty.
So Bauhaus was all about getting rid of unnecessary elements.
That's it. I like that. They liked clean lines, geometric shapes, sans serif typefaces, and a grid-based approach.
So Bauhaus had a huge influence on modern graphic design.
It did.
I can see it everywhere.
It's true. The principles of clarity, simplicity, and functionality really shaped how we design today.
Yeah. It laid the groundwork for that minimalist aesthetic that's so popular now.
It did.
We've seen how graphic design evolved from those elaborate Art Nouveau and Art Deco styles to the more functional Bauhaus.
Yeah.
But what happened after World War II?
Well, after the war, there's this need to rebuild and renew, and that really influenced graphic design.
Okay.
So we see bright colors, playful illustrations, and a real sense of energy and optimism.
So a more positive and hopeful vibe?
Exactly.
Were there any specific styles during that period?
This is when we see that Mad Men aesthetic.
Oh, yeah, I love that aesthetic.
With the sleek advertising campaigns.
Yeah.
And that bold use of color.
Like those old airline posters from the 50s and 60s.
Exactly.
Promising exotic destinations and glamorous travel.
Yeah, they're great.
I love them.
Yeah.
It seems like graphic design was shaping consumer culture at that time.
It was.
And fueling the post-war economic boom.
Totally.
Was that when Swiss style emerged?
You're right. Swiss style was developed in Switzerland in the 1950s.
Okay.
And it's one of the most influential design movements of the 20th century.
Wow.
It's all about clarity, objectivity, and that grid-based approach, again. And they favored those sans serif typefaces like Helvetica Universe.
Cool. So Swiss style sounds like it builds upon the Bauhaus principles of simplicity and functionality.
Yeah, it totally does.
How did it impact graphic design?
Well, it had a huge impact on corporate branding signage and editorial design.
Wow, that's a lot.
Its aesthetic is clean, legible, and understandable, which made it really appealing to businesses.
That makes sense.
And its influence can still be seen today.
I like that.
Especially in areas where clear communication is so important.
It's amazing how those design principles can be so long-lasting.
I know.
But in the late 20th century, there was that shift away from the strict rules of modernism.
Yeah.
How did graphic design respond to that?
Well, that's when we see postmodernism.
Postmodernism.
Which challenged those modernist ideas of objectivity and universality.
Okay.
So postmodern design is more playful and eclectic.
Okay.
It uses historical references, pop culture imagery, and kind of unexpected combinations.
So things were getting more experimental and ironic.
Totally. Postmodern design was all about breaking the rules and challenging conventional notions of good taste.
I like that. What would you say are some hallmarks of postmodern graphic design?
It's all about mixing and matching styles.
Okay.
With the MTV logo.
Oh, yeah. With the constantly changing letters.
Exactly.
That's so iconic.
And the work of David Carson.
Okay.
Who used typography and collage to create eye-catching designs.
Postmodernism really shook things up.
It did.
But the biggest disruption to graphic design has to be the digital revolution.
Oh, absolutely.
Personal computers and design software in the 1980s completely changed graphic design.
Yeah, they did.
Designers suddenly had tools that could create and manipulate images in ways that weren't possible before.
It was crazy.
It must have been such an interesting time for designers.
It was.
How did the digital revolution change graphic design?
It opened up so many possibilities.
Like what?
More complex design, more experimentation, and faster production.
But I imagine there were also challenges.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of challenges?
Designers had to keep learning new technologies and software.
That makes sense.
And try to keep up with that ever-evolving digital landscape.
And then the internet happened in the 1990s.
Oh, yeah. The internet changed everything.
How did the internet impact graphic design?
Well, we suddenly needed web designers, user interface designers, user experience designers, people who could create engaging and easy-to-use online experiences.
Wow.
And then, of course, social media changed how we consume and share visual content.
It's amazing to think how much the internet has changed our relationship with graphic design.
It's true.
We see so many images and graphics every day now.
We do.
So how have designers adapted to this?
Well, designers today have to be really versatile.
Okay.
Adaptable. And tech savvy,
yeah.
They need to create designs that work on websites, yeah. Apps, social media, and even virtual reality.
So we've come a long way. From cave paintings to immersive digital experiences, what are your final thoughts on the future of graphic design?
I think graphic design will keep evolving.
Yeah.
It will always be driven by technology, culture, and human creativity.
Yeah, I agree.
It's a field that embraces both tradition and innovation.
That's a great way to put it. I've loved learning about how graphic design has mirrored human civilization.
Me too.
And I'm excited to see what the future holds.
I hope our listener is now looking at the world with a more design-conscious eye.
I am, for sure.
And that they can appreciate the impact graphic design has on us.
It's been so fun, and I've learned so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the history of graphic design.
And to our listeners, keep exploring. Graphic design is everywhere.
Until next time, keep those creative sparks flying.